They are going to read to us from John chapter 21.
Later, Jesus showed himself to his followers by Lake Galilee. This is how it happened. Some of the followers were together. They were Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee, and two other followers. Simon Peter said, "I am going out to fish." The other followers said, "We will go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. That night they fished. They fished that night but caught nothing. Early the next morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the followers did not know that it was Jesus. Then he said to them, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" They answered, "No." He said, "Throw your net into the water on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did this. They caught so many fish that they could not pull the net back into the boat.
The follower who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard him say this, he wrapped his coat around himself, Peter taking his clothes off. Then he jumped into the water. The other followers went to the shore in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. They were not very far from the shore, only about 100 meters. When the followers stepped out of the boat and onto the shore, they saw a fire of hot coals. There were fish on the fire, and there was bread. Then Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish that you caught." Peter went into the boat and pulled the net to shore. It was full of big fish. There were 153. Even though there were so many, the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the followers dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He also gave them the fish. This was now the third time Jesus showed himself to his followers after he raised from death.
So, Jesus has just done another amazing miracle before the disciples' eyes. But something struck me, which Pauline mentioned in the very first section. Specifically something that Peter said to the other disciples. What does he say? Look with me if you have your Bibles. Peter tells the other disciples in verse 3, "I'm going out to fish." Now, why do I find that so interesting? Peter was a fisherman after all. So he was just going back to what he knew. Well, that's exactly what surprises me. Peter was going back to what he used to do. If we were to flick over to the book of Matthew, we could read of how Peter and Jesus had met. It looked just like today's verses. Peter was in the boat with his brother Andrew, and they were fishing. When Jesus met them, and he called them off their boats, and he told them, which we also learned this week, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers for men." Jesus had changed their jobs. He'd given them a new job, a greater job. Their new job and their new purpose for living was not to catch just enough fish to eat and some to sell just to survive. Their new role was to go out and catch people, to bring people in to hear about Jesus. Their new job wasn't to be in a boat like this one. It was to learn about Jesus, to tell other people about his love, and to catch them for Jesus, for God's kingdom. So Jesus started by changing Peter's job, and then as Peter jumps out of his boat, I'm actually physically doing this, in and out of this boat. You maybe didn't notice. Jesus began to do something even more remarkable. He started to change Peter's heart and the heart of all the disciples. Jesus changed how Peter thought about people, how Peter loved other people, how Peter loved God, and how Peter followed, and how Peter listened and obeyed, just as we heard this week. Peter's life and heart had been transformed to want to know God, to want to love him more, and put God as his number one friend. How did Jesus do that? Well, as we looked at this week, he started by telling his disciples that they needed to build their lives on strong foundations. Foundations that when the storms came, which they would hold fast. They would be reliable. They would remain steady. And as we looked at this week, Jesus was talking about himself. He told his disciples and he tells us to build our lives on him. And then he proved it to his disciples in the most dramatic of fashion on the Sea of Galilee as the storms crashed into their little boat. The disciples, who were hardy fishermen, cry out for Jesus to save them. And he does. He tells the wind and the waves to be calm. And they do it. The boat settles and the disciples are safe. The storm doesn't overcome any of the disciples. And Peter's there to see it. So for Peter, a mere fisherman with this new incredible job, Jesus demonstrated his love and his power and his reliability and his provision for him. He gave him a new job and he showed him that he could do it with his help, with Jesus' help. But on our final day, we read that despite all of these incredible promises from Jesus, despite his new job and Jesus showing him that he could do it with his help, we saw Peter crumble. And that's what we looked at with the heart, the broken heart. Peter was afraid. He was unsure. He was ashamed to be associated with Jesus when he was questioned at the fire. On Friday, we chatted a wee bit about how we can all see ourselves in that person of Peter. And many of us in this room know Jesus. Some of us have only heard little stories about him when we were children or through our children this week. But regardless of how much we know, no matter where we are on that scale, we would often rather pretend that we didn't know an awful lot about him. For those who know him, sometimes if we're asked, are we one of those Christians? We don't say an awful lot, or we outright deny it just to avoid the hate that comes with that. Sometimes our lifestyles just don't reflect him at all. It doesn't show people that we are one of his disciples. And for those who only know a little or nothing at all, or very little at all, it's easier for us sometimes to just forget, because Jesus is not all that popular amongst our friends. And as one of our young people pointed out this week, Jesus isn't exactly all over our phones and TVs or our programs that we watch, at least not in his true self. So we, just like Peter, all too often deny any association with him. We just say, we don't know him, or, you know, we're not really to do with that. Or our lifestyles that are full of lust and selfish ambition and greed do it for us. We hear or see all of that Jesus has done, but we're afraid of what that might mean to be one of his disciples. So why was I surprised that Peter said, I'm going out fishing, when really maybe it shouldn't surprise me at all? After living and walking and watching and speaking with Jesus for all of these 3 years, having seen all that Jesus had done and watched all that he could do through the miracles that he performed, Peter's life hadn't seemed to change all that much. He was going to go back and just be a fisherman. That's what he knew. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows our weaknesses. Jesus is greater than our flaws. And maybe most spectacularly of all, as we talked about this week, Jesus loves us despite it all. Jesus knew that Peter would stumble. The storm of Jesus' trial and death and resurrection had disoriented poor Peter, and had left him running back to what was comfortable for him, what he knew. But in the light of Peter's weaknesses and fear, Jesus was ready and is ready to show Peter that this fishing for fish job, that's no longer what he's good at. They couldn't even catch a fish all night. These hardy fishermen, well experienced on the seas, spent the whole night out there, not one fish. But as Jesus meets them on the shore and he calls them to throw their nets out the other side, as the nets stretch with just one cast after that command, even though they knew there was no fish there, they knew who it was. It's actually John who realizes. He looks at Peter and he says, it is the Lord. You see, the surprising bit for me is that for just an evening, just one night, these men considered the possibility that life would be the same. The life would be as it was before they had ever met Jesus. Jesus had called them to come and follow me, as Dr. Waterfalls told us, and Tracker Tracy. But on the first day of his absence, they resorted to what was comfortable. And following Jesus isn't going to be comfortable. Following Jesus is not easy, or an easy undertaking. But when you've met Jesus, as all of these fantastic children have this week, through the words of this fantastic book, and the love of Christ, which was displayed through all our fantastic leaders, life will never and life can never be the same as it was before. Because we learned how Jesus died for our sins. He took the punishment that we deserved, all that wrong things that we talked about that we do every day. So when he rose from that grave and he to life again, it meant that we could be assured of both life after we die, but also a new life. We're born again. We're given a new heart, a new love, and a new life. And so was Peter. A life that put Jesus as the foundation. And that has to change everything that we know. So Peter can't even wait to get to Jesus. He wraps his coat around him and he jumps out. And no sooner had his toes touched the shore, Jesus says, go bring all those fish. Go bring all those fish that I had helped you catch. And Peter drags 153 specific fish up onto the shore. And I just noticed Jesus does something that must cut so deep into Peter. It must take him right back to that terrible night that he denied Jesus that we talked about. But also must take him back to those days on the hill when he fed 5,000 people plus. He takes the fish and he takes the bread and he hands it out to the disciples. He shows them that he still cares for them. They didn't need to say a word. In fact, we read that they didn't dare ask who it was. It was the Lord. Jesus tenderly, carefully, lovingly reminded the disciples that he was with them. He had always been with them. He hadn't left them and he wasn't going to leave them now. Jesus reminds Peter that he knew his weaknesses. He knew that he loved him, or he needed Peter to know that he loved him anyway. And that Peter still had a very important job. John, in the wee passage that we read, tells us that this was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. Three times he appears to his disciples to remind them that he is Lord. Three times Jesus appears before Peter to remind him that he has forgiven him for denying him. Those three times. And Jesus will go on to remind Peter of his new job three times. A job which Jesus has still chosen Peter to do. A job which also becomes the job of all Christians, to feed and to love his lambs. So, as we sit here today, know that all of you who are here this week have now met Jesus. You've heard his words. You've seen his love for you. You tigers, you parrots, monkeys, and you frogs. And the parents who heard all that they'd done at those days. You'd all been called to follow Jesus. Whatever adventure he might take you on in your life, he promises that that we can trust him. And if we do, he will hold us, he will keep you, and he will never let you go, no matter what the storm. So have you told Jesus today that you're going to follow him? That's our hope for you this week, after all that we've done, all the adventures that we've been on. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for all that we have heard this week. Thank you for all your incredible stories, all that Jesus did on his time on earth. Father, we thank you for Peter. Thank you that we can see ourselves in him, that we are so often weak, so often we stumble and fall. But Lord, you are greater than our weaknesses. You're greater than we can even imagine. So Father, I pray that everyone that was there this week would follow you, would put their trust in you. And as we do so, Lord, you would guide our way and provide for us and help us to be your disciples. So thank you for all that Pauline and Colin did. Lord, we thank you for their passion and their commitment to sharing this message. And Lord, we pray that we would do this again next year with the same love for young people. We just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.